So that is Bhagwan's message. That is Bhagwan's life in the form of song by Bhagwan himself. Dear listeners, Merry Christmas. Yes, the Christmas Eve is happening in Prashanthi Nilayam. I am Team Radio Bishu. Today is such a joyous day. If you are in Cycle One Hall this evening, you could not have been sitting there without going back to the days when Bhagwan would so joyously, delightfully enjoy the Christmas carol sung especially by the Western devotees from all over, devotees from all corners of the globe. What a glorious evening it used to be. The Cycle Month all filled with devotees from so many countries singing in one voice. And most importantly, with so much joy, you can see in their faces that exuberance, that happiness of being with the divine, that happiness of being in the most sacred space on earth, the happiness of experiencing what is true love, what is true joy. And in fact, it was no different this year too. If you were in the Cycle One Hall this evening, you would have felt the same vibration. You would have felt the same presence. You would have felt that same sublimity. Devotees from 26 countries participating in the carol singing and singing with all their heart, all their soul, with every pore of their being. And what an added grandeur and majesty to the whole program is the way the Sai Kulwant Hall looks. It is a cathedral. It's a cathedral of Christmas joy in Prashanthi Nilayam. The entire arena really looks like a glorious church. Never before this magnificent Sai Kulwant Hall resembled a resplendent church like it is now. I was talking to Mr. Kiran Patel and Mr. Veerbhadra Rao, the chairperson and vice chairperson of the UK Sathya Sai organization, and they told me how it is indeed a dream come true for them. The UK organization is behind the decoration this year in Sai Kulwant Hall. And when I asked how did they get this idea of converting Sai Kulwant Hall to look like a church, Brother Kiran Patel said, actually, almost a year ago, you know, one evening, I was sitting in the Sai Kulwant Hall and I was reminiscing my days as a student at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Brother Kiran Patel actually belongs to a very early batch of students who joined Bhagwan's university way back in 1971. So he was with Bhagwan in the 70s. And it is really, when you come to think of it, it is so heartening to see that someone like him is today guiding the Sathya Sai organization in the United Kingdom today. So he was sharing how, you know, more than a year ago, he was in the Sai Kulwant Hall and with Brother Veerbhadra Rao, affectionately called Brother Veeru, and both of them were in the hall thinking about their days with Swami, and they were lost in this beautiful satsang, the moments that Swami blessed them with. And suddenly a thought arose in them, how will it be to see this most sacred space on earth, which now houses his divine body, shine resplendently like a church? And when that thought occurred, you know, when this came to them, both of them were so excited. You know, they were really thrilled. Both of them resonated with this so much because they have been working constantly in the UK, working to take Bhagwan's message and Bhagwan's love to people of all faiths and all cultures. In fact, there were occasions when they have organized beautiful Sai functions in historic churches. So now the thought comes, why not convert this citadel of all functions, of all Sai functions, which is the Sai Kulwant Hall, now into a church? You know, we come a full circle this way. So when this occurred, as I told you, they were so thrilled because there is only one God and there is only one place of worship, which is our heart. How we decorate it is all our choice. It depends on our interest. It depends on how we want to relate to Swami. Different people have related to divinity in different ways through different centuries. We can choose to decorate the altar of Swami in our heart in any way. So this thought came that how beautiful it will be to decorate Sai Kulwant Hall like a church. And they were happy, they were excited, but that's it, that's about it. They forgot about it. Many weeks after this, Mr. John Benner, who has been spearheading the organization of the Christmas programs in Sai Kulwant Hall in Prashantland for years now, one fine day he approached Brother Kiran Patel and said, "Would the Sai devotees in United Kingdom like to do the decorations for Christmas 2015? And Brother Kiran Patel was indeed so thrilled because this is something that UK had never done before. So many countries and regions had done it in the past. You had people, devotees, Sai brothers and sisters from Australia, from New Zealand, from United States, from Europe, different regions of Europe. They had done these decorations in Sai Kulwant Hall. And this year of 90th birthday, this is almost like the finale of the 90th birthday celebrations, and UK is being asked to do the decoration. They were really so excited. But he said, "Okay, I will talk to all my brothers and sisters and get back." And whomever he spoke to, they were all very enthusiastic. In fact, each one was more enthusiastic than the other. Everyone felt this is something we have never done before. England was never blessed with this opportunity before. So it was a wholehearted yes. And then the immediate next thought was, can we do a cathedral design? Again, everyone was really in for it. The permission was got from the authorities in the ashram. They too welcomed it, and that's it. That is the result of what you see in the Sai Kulwant Hall today. And Brother Kiran Patel and Brother Viru, they say, it is all his doing. See, he gave the thought when we were sitting in his lap in Sai Kulwant Hall, here, right here. And it is he who made this entire thing happen. What else can we say? We can only bow down in humility, in gratitude. We can only touch his feet with tears. So that is the little story of how Sai Kulwant Hall is transformed into a majestic and magnificent church for Christmas 2015. Really, one has to be personally, physically present in Prashantinilam to witness and experience how fresh and fragrant this divine hamlet is with this exceptional Sai love from United Kingdom. In fact, the planning for this gigantic endeavor started more than 9 months ago. Several trips were made to Prashanti by different teams to drop the designs and freeze on the final structure, on the colors, the finish. Then teams were formed in India too to source certain materials which are available locally, decide what to buy here, what to bring from there, what designs to do here. Local carpenters and artisans were scouted for. There were people from United Kingdom who came and who were in Prashantinilam for many weeks coordinating this entire effort. There were people in India who helped them trying to organize various things. And actually a group of 215 volunteers from United Kingdom decided to be in Prashantinilam in turns from December 4th onwards just to ensure that everything happens as planned. The fabrication of the huge walls, they took nearly 2 months. The amazing walls on which the beautiful pictures of Jesus, and each one looks like a huge altar, so tastefully done. You have the pillars with that classic glass painting of Jesus. Wow, there are so many amazing, beautiful things, million other things, tiny bells to huge stars, tall Christmas trees to golden and yellow drapes and balls, angels, Christmas folly paintings, pictures. What a magnificent, mammoth, awe-inspiring labor of love. It just shows what you can do when you have love for Bhagwan. You have a photo gallery on our website. Do see that and relive and connect your Prashantinilam to this. The UK devotees also have prepared a separate choir, their Christmas choir. They are the ones singing at daybreak on the morning of Christmas at 6:15 a.m. There is also a drama, The Christmas Gift, in the evening of December 25th by the Balvikas children, the SSC children from United Kingdom. Not only this, there is also a nativity procession again by the children from United Kingdom. They are all going to be dressed in the period style of Bethlehem and recreate that historic scene of the birth of Jesus Christ in the Cyclone Hall. And then we'll begin the International Children's Choir on the evening of December 26, 2015. So much happening in Prashanthalam. So exciting, so colorful, so beautiful. And joining the UK side devotees in the decoration are the Sai brothers and sisters from South Africa who have taken up the decoration of entire Prashanthinilayam ashram with all its buildings and trees and corners. So that's another very special facet of the Christmas in Prashanthinilayam. It is the only occasion perhaps when you find not only Sai Kurunth Hall, but in fact every institution gets decorated, be it the canteens, the bookstalls, the accommodation office, the roads, the streets, the pillars, the lights, the Ganesha temple, the Gayatri temple, even the Radio Sai office. Everything has the touch of Christmas. That is how glorious Christmas is in Prashanthalam. And the theme everywhere this year is I and my Father are one. Very profound. I and my Father are one. Brother Viru told me that this is the best way to connect Christmas and the Satya Sai Avatar. I and my Father are one. This is the pronouncement of Jesus which he made towards the end of his earthly sojourn. And I thought this is something really worthwhile to ruminate on, isn't it? So I requested Mr. William Miller, a long-time devotee of Bhagavan, if he can share his reflections and his insights on this, because he is someone who has spent a lot of time reading Bhagavan's literature on Christ, on the message of Jesus. He has compiled that beautiful book, Be Like Jesus, based on everything that Swami has said on the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Besides Mr. Miller, along with his wife, Mrs. Deborah Miller, they have co-founded the USA-based Global Dharma Center, which is a non-sectarian, non-profit spiritual institution, in May 2000. Together, Deborah and William Miller, they have dedicated more than 50 years of their combined corporate and consulting experience in inspiring and empowering people of all professions to live and work from a spiritual basis. They have authored numerous books, audio programs, and co-authored a column on spirituality at work in a very leading newspaper in India. Mr. William Miller has been an internationally recognized expert on values-driven corporate renewal and innovation since the mid-1980s. When he was the senior consultant for innovation management at SRI International, Stanford Research Institute, USA. And as president of the Global Creativity Corporation since 1987, he has explored with clients, which include over 100 corporations in more than a dozen countries worldwide, how creativity, business and spirituality are all facets of the same jewel. Two of his four books have been rated among the top 30 business books of the year in the United States of America. And his 4-CD audio program, The Art of Spiritual Leadership in Business, was released in the USA in 2003. And the most heartening thing, he has been a guest faculty member at the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and the Stanford University Graduate School of Business. That is what is William Miller. He has maintained his devotion to his most deeply held spiritual values, always and always finding how to convert work into worship, inspiring people to make that journey, to go on that path, explore this and experience the joy of life, living and working. So when I requested him if we could do a discussion on the message of Jesus, on what he thinks about this pronouncement of Jesus I am a messenger of God, I am a son of God, I am a father of one. He was really very open, very welcoming, and in fact, very, very enthusiastic about it. And that is how, with Bhagavan's grace, we recorded a conversation with him where we dwell on what Bhagavan has shared about the life of Jesus and his teachings. So that is what I am going to play for you this beautiful evening of Merry, Merry Christmas.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:57, and as I just discussed, today we are going to dwell on the message of Bhagwan on Christmas. We are going to have this conversation with Mr. William Miller. How practical it is to be like Jesus. How practical it is to live the principles that Jesus always told us to translate in our lives. Let's listen to this conversation with Mr. William Miller.
Sairam, Mr. William Miller, and a warm welcome to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you. Sairam.
So Christmas is around the corner, and this nine-lettered word, Christmas, in Prashanti is very special. And every Christmas season, if you have heard Bhagwan's discourses, he always came out with something new, something fresh about the life of Jesus, a new perspective on his teaching. So even as you celebrated, people of all lands, all languages, all regions, celebrating Christmas in a spirit of universal unity, you also got a very universal message. A universal perspective of Bhagwan's teachings. And one thing that I remember, which Bhagwan narrated very often when he was talking about the life of Jesus, is this progression in his life, in his spiritual evolution, from being a messenger to being a son of God, and then saying that I and my Father are one. You are someone who has spent so much time dwelling on Bhagwan's messages on Christmas. You brought out that beautiful book, Be Like Jesus, that has a very beautiful compilation of everything that Swami has said, what to do on Christmas, and about the life of Jesus and his teachings. So, may I ask you, what is your perspective? What are your insights on this message of Bhagwan on the progression of the life of Christ?
Let me just first say that Christmas has always been one of my favorite times here in Prashanthi Nilayam. You know, I first came here in 1982.
Okay.
And in Christmases that I was able to spend over the years, always was so admiring of the fact, like you said, it's a different experience here. And to see people from all faiths come together to celebrate Christmas was always such an inspiration to me. And I always look forward to what new revelation Swami would give about the teachings of Jesus, about the life of Jesus. And one that really stands out from what you were just saying was when Jesus was talking about the three wise men who came to Jesus at the birth, when he was in the manger, in the stable. And this is what Baba had to say. He says, when Jesus was born, three Arabian kings came to see him. The first king said to Mary, Mother, you have given birth to a child who loves God.
Yes.
The second said, Mother, you have given birth to a child who will be loved by God.
Yes.
The third king said, Mother Mary, your child is not different from God. Both are one and the same. The first one statement, Baba says, indicated Jesus' role as a messenger of God. The second one statement indicated he would be the Son of God. The third one statement indicated that the child would one day declare, I and my Father are one. And he goes on to say that this is not only the progression of Jesus, but the progression that all of us go through in our spiritual development.
This is the story of every individual on the spiritual path.
All of us go through this. another time he would say, this is like the evolution from experiencing that I am in the light, then the light is in me, and then I am the light.
Wow.
And so with Jesus, you know, early in his life, he spent so much time teaching in the temples. And sometimes they would throw him out and chase him away, but he always stuck to what was the message that he felt he was to deliver about compassion, about mercy, about treating the poor well. And he always looked to see how he could heal people. You know, he was in a ministry. He was really there to serve. And that really is what Swami says is the essence of being the messenger. It's not just preaching words like a messenger delivering a sermon.
Living that life.
Living what you're talking about.
Living that message.
Yes. And in terms of being a messenger of God, Jesus would say, he says, I do nothing of myself, like by my own authority, but I say exactly what my Father has taught me. You know, I'm doing my Father's work. I'm
here. You just become only a channel.
A channel, exactly. And that when he would preach giving riches to the poor, and he would minister to the poor and teach the Beatitudes to the poor, he was giving us a model of what we need to do in our own life. That if you're a messenger of God, like we all are, how do we, for example, go feed the hungry? How do we operate our businesses in a way that is in the sense of being an embodiment of truth and of love and compassion and nonviolence and these kinds of values?
Is this really practical? What do you think? You are someone who is also a business consultant.
Yes.
Who have been advising a lot of business houses about trying to live these teachings in real life. But how easy or difficult it is? And have you seen really people trying to be messengers of God even as they are business leaders?
Absolutely. I'll give you one example. A man named Lars Kolland was hired to turn around a company in Europe that was making hearing aids that was failing. And he was raised with the message of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' teachings. He came to the point where he had to realize he had to begin laying off people to have the company survive. Well, laying off people is a very difficult challenge. But what he did, he said, first of all, in my country, people over the age of 50, if they lose their job, they'll never get another job. Very difficult. So the first thing I did was to make sure that anyone over 50 would stay with the company. Mm-hmm. And that I would actually even encourage those who most easily could get another job, let them go. Now, everyone thought he was crazy because that means he was losing some of his best talent.
Yes.
And yet he said, what guided me was the principle of love your neighbor and do to others as you would have them do to you. What he found is that when the people that were left, the first people who left, all left on friendship terms. He talked to each one of them. They congratulated him on how he was handling it. And then with the ones that left, they were so filled with the Spirit. The Spirit that this man cares for us and cares for us and our families. They rose to the occasion and with creating a new vision for the company. The company rose from the ashes and became one of the top two companies of the world in their industry.
Wow.
This is the example of someone.
So even though they were over 50, they would have contributed as if they were 30 or 40 with more enthusiasm.
Exactly. Exactly. This is how contagious living righteously can be. And this is what being a messenger of God is. It's not just words. It's not just preaching. It's actually living it in your daily actions and doing things that may seem difficult, impossible, but you know by your conscience it's the right thing to do.
Wow.
Now, you go on to where Jesus evolved to be the Son of God. Now, what is the Son of God? You know, the messenger is like the servant to the master. They're not related. The Son of God is related. They're family. The Son of God means you realize that you have the same DNA.
Yes.
As God. Okay? That in some level you're not different.
You're not different.
You know? And that Jesus would go out and he would say to people who would say, well, teach us to pray. And he would say, pray this way. Our Father. Pray as sons of God, because you are sons of God just like I am. We are all in the DNA of God. And he would say, you know, I pray to the Father, but you also pray to the Father, because it is your Father just as much as my Father. We are all children of God, which means, as Baba would say, we have a divine inheritance that is due to us.
Yes.
That, what is that divine inheritance? It is God's love. It is God's mercy. It is God's peace. It is God's compassion. And that we have to claim that inheritance by imbibing it in ourselves.
Wow. I mean, this is really beautiful. I'm really tempted to ask you,
yes,
if you can again narrate some instance which you have seen in real life, mm-hmm, where people are living like sons of God. You know, mm-hmm, very beautifully you explained that it starts with you thinking that you are different from God. You are a servant.
Mm-hmm.
So you are different from the master. And when you say you are son, you are connected, intrinsically connected with the father. And Bhagwan used to say, if you say that someone is a son, mm-hmm, of a father, then you would find some trait of the father in the son. Maybe his nose will be like that. Maybe his walk will be like that.
Yes.
Maybe his smile would be like that of the mother or the father. So mm-hmm, you have some traits of the parent. But mm-hmm, yes, so in some ways your life is divine.
Mm-hmm.
It has some divine attributes.
Yes.
But you give a very beautiful example of in the business world of how mm-hmm, this is possible. You can be a messenger of God
mm-hmm,
while you do your business. So anything comes to your mind about how to be a son of God? Can you be a son of God in this world where there is so much of restlessness and there is so much of strife, and it's not so easy to really practice the kind of opposition that Jesus got when he tried to be a son of God?
It's true. He got a lot of opposition. And at one point he was being accused by people of blasphemy because he declared, I'm the Son of God. He actually called himself the Son of Man, primarily.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last moments, when the priest said, are you the Son of God? He says, you've stated the fact.
Oh, wow.
You know. But, you know, he also said, but it says in your scriptures, you are God's. You know, he says, if your own scripture says you are God's, then why do you blame me for saying I am also Son of God? But I think another aspect of this is not just seeing the Father and being the Son and the Father, but seeing each other as brothers and sisters.
Hmm.
And I think a beautiful example of all of this together is Mother Teresa.
Yes.
Because what stands out for me just in one little story I heard was someone asked her, how can you pick up a man who's in the gutter, who's half dead, dirty, perhaps even naked, diseased. How can you do that with such a smile on your face? And she says, it's easy. I see this person as Jesus in his most distressing disguise.
Oh, wow.
So this is seeing the divinity in each other as well. And I'd like to read something that she says also about going to heaven with all of this. She says, you know, we all long for heaven where God is. But we have it in our power to be in heaven with him at this very moment. But being happy with him now means loving as he loves, helping as he helps, giving as he gives, serving as he serves, rescuing as he rescues, being with him 24 hours, touching him in his distressing disguise.
Beautiful.
So that's a perfect example that if we see each other as Jesus.
Yes. And then you don't judge. As Mother Teresa also very beautifully said, that, you know, if you begin to judge people, you'll have no time to love them.
Yes, exactly. So I would say that's one of the things that we see is to, how do we see each other as brothers and sisters in God? Then you naturally have that relationship with God, which is what God wants, which is treat all of my children.
Yes.
And, you know, don't just focus on me. Look at your brothers and sisters.
In fact, I remember that anecdote from, again, Mother Teresa's life when she's picking up this person from the gutter and someone says, I will not do it for $1 million. Oh, my God, how do you do it? And she says, even I would not do it for $1 million.
Right.
I do it because it is Jesus.
Yes, exactly. You know, and the same thing can happen in the way we deal with a customer.
Yes.
You know, if a customer calls and is very angry, for example, because some service was not been given to him properly or some quality was poor, how do we treat them as, this is Jesus calling?
Oh, wow.
You know, how do I handle my job if I'm trying to sell something to someone? How do I not just try to see what I can get from that person, but how can I truly be of service to them by what we offer? I know in our business we say, if we discover that we cannot be the best provider, we will try to find a company, a better provider than us.
Oh,
If we're not the best that can serve them, we'll try to help them find someone who's better to serve them, to serve their needs. And that is our duty. Our duty is to serve that person to get the best that they can get. And so these are the simple ways that we can actually take this into our daily life in terms of claiming that inheritance, which is when we develop the love and compassion and truthfulness and transparency in ourselves, we are claiming the inheritance of being God.
Wow. I remember Rabindranath Tagore very beautifully said, if you want to do good, you knock at the door. But if you love, you find the gates open.
Yes. Good. I love that.
That is something profound because, again, it cannot be perhaps explained by logic because, you know, it doesn't make business sense if you go and tell your client that, you know what you want, we don't have it, so we'll ask someone else to do it for you. It flies in the face of good marketing and good business development. But I think if you're coming from a space of love, there is something that will work, which perhaps is beyond business logic.
Actually, I would say that doing what we do is actually the true business logic. You know, because what happens? You build trust.
Yes.
What is the essence of good marketing? Building trust.
Trust.
What is the essence of good business? Building trust with your employees, with your customers, and so on. That's where loyalty comes from.
Yes.
You know, and so anything you can do to build yourself as trustworthy and demonstrate your trustworthiness is good business.
It's good business.
Absolutely.
There could be a short-term fall, but that is what will hold you in good stead.
Exactly. Exactly. And we all know how many companies go out of business in the short-term fall. You know, so,
yes.
But the thing is, this is what sustains business for the long term.
Wow.
This is what builds a long-term business. So,
fantastic.
Now, let's look at the third. When Jesus declared, I and my Father are one. Further, he says, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. We are one.
Yes.
But he even went even further, and this is what we have to pay attention to. Jesus said, when you follow my teachings, you will come to know for yourself that I'm in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
Wow.
So in other words, there's not a distinction between me, you, and Father. We're all together. We're all one. And we can discover that for ourselves. When he was teaching you, even your own scriptures in the Old Testament to the Jews, you know, you were gods. This starts to reflect a bit of that teaching. I remember a friend of mine in the USA. She talked about what it meant to live this way herself. She says, like, I would volunteer at a home for the elderly. And sometimes those are difficult situations. You know, people are sick, they're maybe not in the right mind and so on. She says, but as long as I have it, this is God serving God, then that work became easy.
Work became easy.
You know, and my wife and I, we had an interesting evolution in our understanding of marriage. Before we got married, we realized that most of the marriage ceremonies in the world that we know start with the premise that the two shall become one. And he said, okay, well, that's the normal way of thinking about it. But in a sense, what Swami and Jesus is teaching is that it's just the opposite. That there's a oneness that precedes our individuality.
Yeah.
There's a oneness in God that precedes. So marriage is really an experience of oneness having expressed itself as two. Not two becoming one. The one is the starting point, and we happen to be a male and female. Expressions of that oneness. It's a whole different premise
for
marriage.
It's a whole process only in becoming one. One with him.
Yeah. See, in other words, it's like Swami says, it's not that we are humans striving to become divine.
Yes.
He says, it's actually the opposite. We are divine beings having a human experience.
Yes.
So we don't have to strive to become divine. We are already divine.
Anyway.
But we have to bring our consciousness to that experience.
Yes.
Of that truth. And so as a marriage, when we operate that we are oneness expressing as two people in this marriage.
You start with that premise that we are one.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
It's a much stronger foundation for our differences so that one time, if we have differences of opinions, sometimes we can step back and laugh and say, oh, oneness is really expressing as two, given our different opinions on this. And yet it holds that difference in a bigger container.
And this works so beautifully in every environment.
Yes.
Anywhere there is a difference, if you first begin with the premise that we are actually one, in an office there could be 15 people working.
Yes.
And you begin with the notion that we are one.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start working towards how to reach there.
Exactly.
Instead of thinking, oh, we are 15 people, we have different ideas and it's not going to work out. It's then mm-hmm. it's going to be a very difficult, because the premise itself is that we are different.
Right. There's another experience, just personal, to share. My wife and I have done work with the United Nations Habitat on bringing human values into the mega water and sanitation projects in developing countries, developing a program for developing stronger human values for that. And we would go into different countries, and we'd be coached that, okay, in your audience for the next of 30 people, already two people have accepted their bribes.
Oh.
You know, there's corruption here.
Mm.
You know, now, how do we hold that if we're going to speak about human values? One of the things is to realize that if we're all divine, then even those people have divinity, the spark of divinity in them. They may have become not even believing in their own potential. They may have started becoming more individualistic and feel like I have to just look out for myself and things like this. But all of that is just the smoke that covers the truth.
Yes.
And so we had to be able to speak to the truth of who
yes.
people are, whether
yes.
or not they themselves could see it.
Yes.
And when you can see everyone as divine when you're speaking,
yes.
even if some of them are corrupt,
yes.
it changes your heart yes. and it changes your whole approach to the situation.
And it changes the whole situation too.
Yeah.
When you approach the situation in a new light, the situation itself changes
mm-hmm.
into a new light.
Yeah. It's like we experience stories where people who were not diligent in their quality, when others held them in a light of, we trust you to do
yes.
good quality, they would often rise to the occasion.
Yes.
Now this may sound naive,
yes.
and you have to be diligent, you have to be vigilant.
Yes.
At the same time, it works.
It works.
You know, people will
it
rise
works.
When you believe in them.
Yes.
Often it's you believe in them more than they believe in themselves,
yes.
and they're having to go through a process of learning
yes.
to trust life again.
Yes.
And that is where your compassion comes. In a sense, again, we've earned that inheritance of the consciousness of God. There's another story I just want to share in politics. There's a man who, during the 50s and 60s, lived in one of the countries behind the Iron Curtain
mm-hmm.
in the Soviet Union. And his country was Czechoslovakia.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had their springtime rising in the late 60s, it got squashed by the military from Russia and things like this. And he was eventually put into prison.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was put into prison, he was for 10 years for being an agitator.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked out his prison wall and saw a tree. And it spawned a whole thought process, awareness, a realization, an insight. And what he said was that he realized that everything in life shared the same beingness.
Beingness.
Beingness. You know, that we are all part of one being.
One being.
And that what was happening, the people had lost touch with that, had lost
yes.
faith with that, and in a sense had gotten more self aggrandizing, greedy and things like this, self-interested, and they lost faith.
Yes.
And that his job was to help reestablish that sense of the spiritual resurgence.
Yes.
When he got out of prison, there was the fall of the Iron Curtain. He was elected as the first president of Czechoslovakia.
Oh.
And then when the Czech and the Slovakia Republic split, he became the first president of the Czech Republic. Very revered. And he said, you know, for us politically in the world, if we're going to establish a sense of unity, it has to come from a spiritual revolution. And that revolution is around knowing the being of God and knowing that being of God in all of us.
Wow.
And that, again, comes from the way we can live what Jesus lived and what he declared is, I and the Father are one.
Amen.
And I'm in the Father and you're in me and I'm in you. And we are all this oneness. And as we establish that, then we've completed that sense of that journey of consciousness from I'm in the light is in me, I am the light.
Wow, amazing. In fact, I'm just reminded also of how Bhagavan used to mention about Hanuman
mm-hmm.
and say when Rama asked Hanuman once what he thinks about his relationship with Rama. He says that, you know, at the level of the body, mm-hmm. I am your servant. But at the level of the mind, then I am just that part of you which is love.
Mm-hmm.
But at the level of the Atma, I am not different from you.
Right.
And you know, when he says that, you have Rama embracing Hanuman. So that is, again, when you think about it, very beautifully you said this is the journey of every spiritual aspirant. And you can actually draw a parallel to the Bhakti Marga, Karma Marga and the Jnana Marga.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you are the messenger of the Lord, you are trying to live His message. It's something like following the path of the Karma Marga.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you are at the Bhakti Marga,
mm-hmm.
you know, you are so much in love with God that you almost, you know, you can feel that connect with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Bhakti Marga,
right.
the stage of devotion. And then finally the realization comes, you know, when you are deep in devotion, finally you reach the stage of Jnana Marga, where
mm-hmm.
you know that you are not different. You are not praying to somebody outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is only inside. That light, that star of Christmas, the symbol of Christmas, that light is actually in the heaven within.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the enlightening that the Lord wants to happen in every Christmas, and in fact, every moment of our lives, mm-hmm. isn't it?
I'd like to add one thing to what you were saying, and that is that when you're in that role of serving, that is how love blossoms.
Yes.
So in the, and since the path of action, that is where the path of devotion arises.
Arises.
And when the path of devotion matures, it matures in a sense of pure divine love. And that is what creates the wisdom.
Yes.
See, the wisdom, the jnana, is not about mental.
No.
It's not about mental understanding.
No.
It only actually happens, the wisdom only happens when you've matured in love.
Absolutely.
So love is the source of the wisdom itself. Yes. That is why
you practice love.
Yeah?
You know about love, you practice love, and you become love.
And you become love. And in becoming love, then your wisdom has blossomed. You know?
Absolutely.
And so this is why, you know, Swami has once said, he says, God has no attributes and only one quality. That
yes.
quality is love.
Wow.
And why the sense of Jesus' teachings, this is, you know, when asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. A new commandment I give you, love one another. Love is the essence of Jesus' teachings, because that is where the full emergence actually blossoms.
And that is what Bhagwan also shared all 86 years of his life. If there is one word to describe all his teachings,
mm-hmm.
every Christmas discourse or any discourse,
mm-hmm.
it ended with, love is God, live in love.
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Mr. Miller.
Thank you.
So that was Mr. William Miller, and the message, as you heard, is all about love, is all about becoming that love. I remember in 2014, in this Christmas season, there was a beautiful song that our brothers in the Radiosai studios came up with, and the essence of that song is, be thy love. In the silent night, stars are shining bright. We can see the holy light in everybody's heart. We will keep thy holy light every moment, day and night. Every soul will feel thy light. Every soul will feel thy love and light. Sing thy glory to praise the Lord. Sing thy story to spread his love. Sing thy glory to feel thy love, to be thy love, to be thy love. That is the beautiful song that Bhagwan gave on Christmas 2014. And when you listen to this song, there is a certain vibe about this song which you will experience more once I tell you the story of how this song came about. This has got to do with Brother Sai Kaustubh Das Gupta. For those of you who are familiar with Brother Kaustubh, he is someone who is a special child of the Lord. Someone who cannot do a million things that any of us can do, but whose love for Bhagwan is million times more. His love for Bhagwan is million times more. And he is someone whom Bhagwan blessed to come up with this beautiful composition. And how it happened, and through him, how Bhagwan gifted all of us
in the silent
this composition
night,
is something
stars are shining,
which I want to share, because this is something which
can see the holy light
will inspire all of us. This is something that will make us think about the Lord, to dwell on the Lord in a manner that we have not done before. How it happened on the Christmas Eve is very interesting. This brother, Sai Kaustubh, every year he does, in fact every occasion, he does all the banners and all the artwork for the Radio Sai. Everything that you see on the website is done by him. In terms of the graphics, so what he did is, on Christmas Eve in 2014, he had finished doing this beautiful graphic where you have Bhagwan in various poses, in various moods. Bhagwan smiling, Bhagwan glowing, Bhagwan in surprise, Bhagwan gazing, Bhagwan gentle, Bhagwan bursting into laughter. And in all these collages, once he finished everything, he put the characteristic Santa Claus red cap on these pictures. And then there was also one picture where Bhagwan was talking to one student who was dressed as the Santa Claus. And when he put that picture in along with all these other pictures, it felt so perfect. He was very happy with what had come out finally. And he now only wanted a caption to make the entire picture complete. So he thought long and hard what would be a very good caption for this. And then he thought, how about joy to the world? In fact, this was a thought with which he slept that night. And the next morning when he woke up, this appeared to him as the perfect lines to complete that collage. So he wrote there, joy to the world, the Lord is come. He was very happy, very satisfied with what had come out. And then he changed it slightly. He wrote, joy to the world, our Sai has come. And with that, you know, he could not express his gratitude to Bhagwan, because how Bhagwan had guided him to come up with such a beautiful collage. And immediately he shared it with Radio Sai Brothers. So it came So when I saw this graphic, I said, Kaustubh, so you knew the theme of this year's Christmas decoration in advance? He said, what? No, brother, I had no clue. He said, even now I don't know what is the Christmas decoration. I said, look at the cyclopentol on the top. In big white bold letters it says, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And when he saw that, he was speechless. He was only in tears. Oh my God, you will see how Bhagwan has blessed me with this beautiful composition, these beautiful words, exactly matching with the theme of that year's Christmas. And he was so filled with love and gratitude to Bhagwan that immediately he started composing a song. Basically, he was just singing. He was only just singing out of gratitude to the Lord. And that song took the shape of what I told you. In the silent night, stars are shining bright. We can see the holy light in everybody's heart. Let me play for this for you. If you go to our website, you can find this. Just search for audio special Christmas 2014 and you will find the song. Very shortly, I'm going to play the song for you.
Sing thy
in everybody's heart. We will keep thy holy light every moment, day and night. Every soul will feel thy light.
Love that came out in the form of this beautiful song to Brother Sai Kaustubh Das Gupta in Christmas last year, 2014. It is a Christmas gift, as he said, not just for me, it's for everyone. And if you look at even this year's Christmas, everything Bhagwan has gifted each one so magnificently, each one who is involved in the decoration of the Christmas in Prashantanilam has a story to share. Everyone who is part of the choir has a tale to narrate. I was talking to your brother from Sri Lanka, who is actually part of the now US choir group, because his sister is in UK, and he was telling, oh my God, if only I had come to Prashantanilam much before. He came 2 days ago. He wanted to come to Prashantanilam a week before so that he could bask in this love. I remember talking to two sisters from South Africa a year ago, and one of them did not believe in Bhagwan, but the older sister told her, you just come for a half a day to Prashanti. If you do not like, you know, we'll book your tickets back, you can return. And just in that half day, she just sat in the choir practice session, and that 2 hours of just sitting in the choir practice session was such an overwhelming experience. She experienced so much love, she experienced so much of universal unity with everyone there. She felt so much at home, so she said, no, I want to stay on, I want to stay on, I want to stay on. And now she lives Bhagwan's teachings in her life. Every moment in Prashanti is special, and Christmas every year is something exceptional. And this year too, Bhagwan has made it so beautiful, with so many people contributing in different ways. You heard the message of Bhagwan as beautifully explained by Mr. William Miller, and we'll continue this discussion with Mr. Miller next Thursday, because we had another session very, very beautifully shared about how to live these values of truth, righteousness, peace, love and non-violence, and practice love, practice loving our enemies. How can we do it practically? What he has seen and what he has experienced in the corporate life, in the social life, he's going to share. That is going to come up. We'll continue this discussion in this Christmas season. Next Thursday too, we'll dwell on these teachings, its eternal values and how to practice them. And we'll continue to live in that love, continue to live in that bliss of being one with Him, being one with Him in love, through love, for love. Thank you so much, dear listeners. Merry Christmas. Enjoy, have a great time, and all the time feel His love and feel so full, feel complete, and feel blissed out. Thank you so much. Sit down.